Hi, everyone. Today we're going to be reading the Everett Independent. This edition is from Wednesday, July 8th, 2026. Tom Ambrosino, one of the most influential municipal leaders in the history of two communities, Revere and Chelsea, has announced that he will be retiring as the court administrator of the Massachusetts Trial Court. Ambrosino said he notified court personnel that he will be retiring in the fall. I haven't yet submitted my paperwork to the state, but it's sitting on my desk, ready to be hand-delivered. I'll probably retire sometime in September. From his office at the John Adams Courthouse in Boston, Ambrosino had a major responsibility in the Massachusetts judicial system. He oversaw 94 courts and 6,500 court employees. It definitely was an interesting job, but it's time to go, said Ambrosino. I've been here 3.5 years. Prior to his job in the courts, Ambrosino served as city manager of Chelsea for 7.5 years. He was previously the mayor of Revere for 12 years, following 4 years as a counselor at large and 6 years as a school committee member. I have great memories of my years in Revere and Chelsea, said Ambrosino. We accomplished a lot of good things. Ambrosino, who will turn 65 years old in November, still holds a special connection to Revere. His daughter, Alexandra Ambrosino Nader, is a teacher at the Hill Elementary School. Ambrosino is a 1979 graduate of Revere High School, where he was an outstanding student and a member of the National Honor Society. One of his favorite educators was Carol Tai, who has often praised Ambrosino for his academic excellence and studiousness. She was my 10th grade English teacher, Ambrosino noted of Tai, who would later become the superintendent of schools and serve on the school committee. Ambrosino went on to attend Boston University, graduating in 1983. He continued his education at Harvard Law School, earning his Juris JD degree in 1986. Ambrosino said of his distinguished career, I will miss public service, but it's been 37 years. It's been a long time. I feel proud of my career. I did my best, that's for sure. Ambrosino said he and his longtime partner, Lori Giardella, intend to do a lot of traveling in his retirement years. But Ambrosino added that he hopes to eventually work in another field. I hope it's not the end, said Ambrosino. I really would like to do something else, but I'm not sure what. I don't want to really stop working. It's time to retire from state government. Revere Mayor Patrick Keefe, City Councilor President Anthony Zambudo, and Representatives Jessica Giannino and Jeff Turco led a tremendous tribute from city and state officials to Ambrosino's career. Everett and Revere target Shoppers helping fund Boston charities. Shoppers at the Revere and Everett Target stores can help several Boston nonprofits as the department store chain kicks off its annual charitable drive that directs a portion of sales to community organizations. Starting July 1st, Target guests across Massachusetts, including at the Revere and Everett locations, can vote to have funding directed to a variety of organizations, including several in Boston. Among the charities benefiting from the Target Circle Community Giving Program, which kicked off on July 1st, are Boston Scores in East Boston and Breaktime United, Inc. and Revolutionary Spaces, both in Boston. Boston Scores is a nonprofit designed to inspire youth to lead healthy lives, be engaged students, and have the confidence and character to make a difference in their world. Breaktime United is a Boston-based nonprofit dedicated to ending young adult homelessness through purposeful employment and empowerment. Revolutionary Spaces is a nonprofit that utilizes historic Old South Meeting House and Old State House in Boston to host discussions about democracy and the American experience. Every time a Massachusetts customer shops, they earn a vote to help direct Target's corporate giving to nonprofits operating right here in our backyard. Local organizations like the Literacy Center in Attleboro have received more than $1,500 from these community-driven votes. Target Circle gave the Literacy Center the chance to reach a much wider audience than we could ever alone, said Ashley Walsh, Director of Development for the Literacy Center, a nonprofit that supports adult education. Thanks to Target Circle members' generosity, we were able to serve over 700 English language learners and their families this year as they worked toward self-sufficiency, all at no cost to them. The Literacy Center relies entirely on programs and individual donations to keep their doors open, and partners like Target Circle help to expand our reach and make our work possible. Target's charity drive is in conjunction with the upcoming back-to-school season, which features Target's most design-forward brand partnerships ever. Local shoppers can find exclusive, limited-time collaborations hitting Massachusetts store shelves and Target.com over the next few weeks, including Poppy and Target Storm Collection, Hollister Collection, Love Shack Fancy for Target, Tween and Teen Apparel, Beauty, and School Supplies under $25. Over time, exclusive sports lifestyle backpacks and lunch accessories starting at $24.99, and a Wallace and Cat and Jack playful backpacks, water bottles, and bag charms priced between $3 and $25. Target Circle Community Giving Program awards $7 million annually to selected nonprofits across the United States. The program has awarded more than $42 million to nearly 8,000 charities selected by Target Circle customers. Everett selected for statewide bike share program to help older adults ride with confidence. The city of Everett has been selected as one of just three Massachusetts communities to participate in a new bike share education program designed to help adults ages 50 and older build confidence using bicycles and local bike share services. Made possible through an AARP Community Challenge flagship grant awarded to the Massachusetts Department of Transportation, MassDOT, the Golden Gears program will provide Everett residents with free, hands-on instruction, guided rides, and peer support to encourage safe, comfortable use of bike shares and other active transportation options. Everett joins Worcester and Springfield as the inaugural host communities for the Golden Gears program. Participants will take part in a free two-day confidence clinic that includes basic riding instruction, bicycle safety education, access to riding equipment, and bike share passes. The program will also feature guided group rides and community conversations where participants can share their experiences and learn from fellow riders. Creating transportation options is only part of the equation. We also need programs that help people feel confident taking advantage of them, said Mayor Robert J. Van Kampen. This initiative gives older adults the support and encouragement they need to try bike share, stay active, and remain connected to their community. We're proud that Everett was selected for this program and grateful for the opportunity to bring these resources directly to our residents. The program is intended for older adults who are interested in biking but may be hesitant to get started. Through classroom instruction, hands-on practice, and guided rides, participants will gain the skills and confidence needed to safely use bike share as a convenient option for recreation, exercise, and local transportation. This program is intentionally practical, said Christopher Carter, MassDOT Chief Innovation Officer. It is about meeting people where they are, answering questions, providing hands-on support, and helping older adults feel comfortable and confident using available transportation options that may be less familiar to them. BikeShare can be a convenient and affordable way to connect to trails, transit, local destinations, and community life, and we want more people to feel empowered to use it. The initiative builds on an ongoing investment in safer, more accessible transportation throughout Massachusetts while helping older adults take advantage of expanding micro-mobility options in their communities. In addition to the confidence clinics, the program will include educational resources, participant feedback, and outreach materials that can serve as a model for communities across the Commonwealth. More information about clinic dates, registration, and eligibility will be announced as it becomes available. Enjoy the Tall Ships. The return of the Tall Ships to Boston Harbor this coming weekend will place a spectacular exclamation point to the celebration of America's 250th anniversary. The international fleet of vessels will arrive in Boston Outer Harbor beginning Thursday and into Friday, where they will anchor in Broad Sound ahead of the parade of sail on Saturday. The ships that anchor will be plainly visible from the shores of Lynn, Revere, and Winthrop, transforming the Outer Harbor into a seascape of masts that will evoke the 18th century. Then, on Saturday morning, starting at 9 o'clock, the ships will unfurl their sails and proceed into the inner harbor past Deer Island and Castle Island. Led by Old Ironsides, the USS Constitution, the parade will sail past the entire Boston waterfront, including East Boston, the North End, and Charlestown, with Admirals Hill and Chelsea offering longer distance views at the ships' turnaround before heading to their berths. The ships will be open to the public for boarding throughout the week, providing a unique opportunity to experience the inner workings of these majestic vessels, which will include the Amerigo Vespucci in Italy, the Juan Sebastian del Elcano from Spain, Cisne Branco from Brazil, Blue Nose 2 from Canada, and Dar Mlotzi from Poland. Fireworks displays on the evenings of Saturday, July 11th and Wednesday, July 15th will light up the harbor beginning at 9:15 p.m. We vividly recall the first visit of the tall ships in 1976 for America's 200th anniversary. We have no doubt that for young and old alike, the visit of the tall ships this week will create memories that will last a lifetime. It had been a great World Cup until... The World Cup has been a wonderful event, enjoyed by soccer fans and non-fans alike. The games have been incredibly exciting, especially in the first knockout round, where underdog teams have pushed the giants of the sports to the limit. Until recently, the tournament also had been devoid of politics. The influx of international fans into our American host cities, including Boston, have created a degree of harmony and goodwill that is seldom seen in the world today. However, that all changed this past week. American government officials took it upon themselves to intervene with FIFA to lift the automatic one-game suspension of a star U.S. player who has received a red card in his previous match. The sequence of events that led to the player's reinstatement from Monday's match with Belgium has cast a pall over the integrity of the tournament. FIFA, by suspending its own suspension, has shown itself to be just as subject to backroom influence as it has been in the past. Meanwhile, U.S. officials have shown themselves to be ruthlessly craven in the pursuit of winning. Ultimately, the real losers amidst all of the shenanigans are the American players. Their superb showing throughout the tournament, despite Monday's 4-1 loss to Belgium, will be forever overshadowed by this crass manipulation of the rules by FIFA and U.S. officials. The Everett Independent Independent Forum. City of Everett announces conclusion of ARPA-funded community meal program. The City of Everett announced its ARPA-funded community meal program will conclude on August 31st, 2026, as the federal funding that made the program possible comes to an end. Since its launch 6 years ago, the program has provided meals to approximately 400 residents each week, offering reliable food assistance to seniors and other community members in need. The initiative was funded through the Federal American Rescue Plan Act, ARPA, which provided temporary funding to support communities recovering from the COVID-19 pandemic. With the expiration of ARPA funding, the city is no longer able to continue operating the program. This program has touched the lives of so many Everett residents over the past 6 years, said Mayor Robert J. Van Kampen. We are thankful to the dedicated city staff, community partners, and residents who helped make it such a success. Now our priority is making sure participants know where they can turn for continued support. The city also extends its sincere appreciation to the staff from the mayor's office, elder services, and the inspectional services department, whose efforts helped operate the program as well as the many residents who participated throughout the years. The city recognizes that this change may be difficult for some residents and is committed to helping participants transition to other available food assistance programs. Residents seeking assistance are encouraged to contact the Connolly Center at 617-394-2323 or Mystic Valley Elder Services at 781-324-7705. These organizations can help connect residents with services such as Meals on Wheels, community meal and food programs, and other available resources. For residents who may have difficulty traveling, transportation assistance may also be available throughout the city's new van service. The city remains committed to ensuring residents continue to receive the support and services they need, and thanks all participants for allowing the program to serve them over the past 6 years. International Sand Sculpting Festival returns for 22nd year with Boston Welcomes the World theme. The Revere Beach International Sand Sculpting Festival is back. Now entering its 22nd year, the highly anticipated summer event will take over the shores of America's first public beach from July 17th to July 19th. This year's festival theme is Boston Welcomes the World, bringing together artistry, culture, and community for a weekend filled with art from master sand sculptors and family fun. The main attraction will feature an extraordinary display of skill as 10 master sand sculptors from across the world compete for prize money. These exceptionally talented artists will transform the sand into awe-inspiring creations, drawing hundreds of thousands to Revere Beach over the 3-day course. Historically drawing crowds that can exceed 500,000 people, the festival offers much more than just world-class art. Beyond the sand sculptures, the event features over 50 food vendors, food trucks, and exhibitors, interactive activities, amusement rides, fireworks, and a vibrant atmosphere. The spectacular fireworks display is scheduled to light up the sky over the water on Saturday night at 9 p.m. The event is organized by the Revere Beach Partnership, 501c3 nonprofit organization that was established in 2001. Made up of a volunteer board that shares a love for Revere and Revere Beach, the partnership's mission is to preserve and enhance America's first public beach for the enjoyment of all. We can't wait to see everyone at the beach this summer for the 22nd year of the International Sand Sculpting Festival, organizers shared in a statement. We invite you to join us July 17th to 19th on Revere Beach for an experience you'll never forget. Because of the massive crowds expected, automobile traffic in the surrounding area will be heavily congested and parking will be extremely limited. Attendees are highly encouraged to use public transportation. The MBTA's Blue Line offers two convenient stops, Wonderland and Revere Beach stations, making it by far the best choice for festival goers traveling to the beach. Event details at a glance. Dates, Friday, July 17th through Sunday, July 19th. Hours, Friday and Saturday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Sunday from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. For more information or to donate, please visit reverebeachpartnership.com or rbissf.com. Neighbor Health brought together elected officials, clinicians, maternal health advocates, and community leaders at the Massachusetts State House on Wednesday, June 24, 2026, for Community Maternal Health, Strengthening the Delivery of Care, a forum focused on identifying community-driven solutions to improve maternal health care outcomes for families and reduce inequities across Massachusetts. Led by Mimi Gardner, MPH, LICSW, Vice President and Chief of Community Partnerships and Health Impact at NeighborHealth, and sponsored by Massachusetts Senator Liz Miranda, the event addressed persistent challenges in maternal and perinatal health, including rising rates of severe maternal morbidity, SMM, and inequities across race, geography, and socioeconomic status. Throughout the morning, speakers highlighted actionable strategies to strengthen care delivery, expand access, and ensure more equitable outcomes across the Commonwealth. This important conversation honors the voices of birthing people across Massachusetts, whose experiences continue to guide this work, said Gardner. Together, doulas, midwives, public health leaders, and policymakers are advancing solutions to ensure every family is heard, valued, and supported with care they deserve. Participants also reviewed community-informed recommendations aligned with ongoing legislative priorities, including strengthening the maternal health workforce and advancing reimbursement pathways for doulas and midwives to support safe, respectful, and equitable care. The convening featured remarks and participation from local and statewide leaders, including Senator Liz Miranda, 2nd Suffolk District, Massachusetts, State Representative Marjorie Decker, Dr. Kiami Mahania, Massachusetts Secretary of Health and Human Services, Dr. Basola Ajikudo, Commissioner of Public Health and Executive Director of the Boston Public Health Commission, Michael Curry, President and CEO of the Massachusetts League of Community Health Centers, Dr. Nidimaka Amuda Anukaga, Center for Maternal Health Advancement at Tufts University. We know the disparities, we know the data, we know the solutions. The question is, what will it take to fully commit to maternal health equity? Said Senator Miranda. Black and brown women continue to face unacceptable barriers to safe and respectful care. If we are serious about changing outcomes, we must invest in community-led solutions, listen to those most impacted, and ensure that equity is at the center of every policy decision we make. Every mother deserves dignity, and together we can build a system that truly listens and cares, said Dr. Amuda Anukaga. By leading with equity and compassion, we can create a future where every family thrives, rooted in justice and joy. The event underscored the importance of community-led solutions in shaping policy, fostering alignment between community priorities and state-level efforts to advance maternal health equity for families across Massachusetts. NeighborHealth continues to lead this work through innovative, community-centered models of care and partnerships that expand access and strengthen maternal health services across the Commonwealth. Green Roots, Mass Audubon, TND celebrate acquisition of Forbes site on Chelsea Creek. Green Roots, Mass Audubon, and the neighborhood developers celebrated the acquisition of the Forbes site at the property on Monday morning, marking a significant milestone in a collaborative effort to transform the property into a vibrant community asset. Together, the three organizations envision a climate-resilient waterfront destination that expands public access to the Chelsea waterfront while creating much-needed open space, affordable homes, community service, nature-based programming, and opportunities for future generations to connect with nature and one another. In March, Mass Audubon officially took ownership of 18 acres 11 months after the Superior Court approved the initial offer for the property. The site of the former Forbes Lithograph Manufacturing Company was placed in receivership at the request of the City of Chelsea in late 2024, a legal step that opened a window of opportunity for the partnership to actively pursue the acquisition of the property. In the decades before the acquisition and partnership between the three organizations, the Forbes site was on the cusp of major residential development from foreign developers and suffered a major 9-alarm fire in 2024. The speakers on Monday noted that the property is now on track to addressing some of the biggest needs for Chelsea residents, from affordable housing to waterfront access to environmental resiliency. The abandoned industrial site will be rejuvenated to provide open space and waterfront access, increase climate resiliency, and provide up to 225 units of affordable housing. When the project is ready to be open to the public, the community will be able to access nature-based programming, camps for kids, urban bird walks, community events, and recreational opportunities such as hiking and kayaking, where Chelsea Creek and Mill Creek converge. Today, we celebrate this win for the community of Chelsea because the community is resilient beyond comparison, said Green Roots Executive Director Roseanne Bongiovanni. When I went fishing here for the first time, I had to trespass to get here, and now, through this partnership, Chelsea kids will never have to trespass again to access the Chelsea Creek waterfront. Bongiovanni said that the development and protection of the Forbes site is something that has always been on her Green Roots radar. It is an incredible habitat, and it is really awesome to have it. So it was like, if we could ever, wouldn't that be amazing, she said, and here we are today. The initial purchase price of $8 million serves as a down payment for this multi-year, multi-million dollar project. The total cost, including real estate, environmental testing, planning and design, and construction, will run an estimated $68 million, according to the project partners. Those project partners, along with the Chelsea officials, are pursuing a variety of state, federal, and grant funding, including a federal $850,000 Mystic River Watershed Communities grant, while simultaneously raising private funds and donations. This is a crucial milestone on a once-in-a-lifetime project that will be a national model of urban waterfront redevelopment, said Mass Audubon President and CEO David O'Neill. Communities like Chelsea have been overlooked and stripped of so many of the positive benefits that nature and green spaces bring, which is why we're dedicated to and passionate about bringing accessible open space to one of the most densely packed municipalities in the Commonwealth. The Neighborhood Developers Executive Director Raphael Mares said the project provides a number of things the city needs. Chelsea is an amazing city, and we deserve more green space. We deserve more affordable housing. It makes the neighborhood more climate resilient, so all of that can be done in one space at one time, right now, said Mayors. Mayors said that by creating homes alongside open space, the Forbes development can help ensure that Chelsea residents who have deep roots in the city can remain part of its future, while also expanding access to the waterfront to everyone. The event, also attended by Senator Sal DiDomenico, Representative Judith Garcia, and Rebecca Tepper, Secretary of the Massachusetts Executive Office of Energy and Environmental Affairs, all three of whom had a hand in its securing over $3.5 million in funding for Chelsea Creek Sanctuary. It's been 20 years since it has been a blighted site, and all of a sudden, here come three organizations that have proven themselves able to get things done, said Garcia. They said, you know what? We can open the space, and we can make it a sanctuary, and we can build 225 affordable homes. And I think this is what our residents are clamoring for. As a state representative, Garcia said two of the biggest issues she hears about from constituents are housing affordability and access to green space. DiDomenico said the project is transformational and generational for Chelsea and the region. When you have a blighted site that was very, very hard to acquire and turn into something spectacular for the community, affordable housing and activating this part of the waterfront that has been largely forgotten, she said. So now we are going to clean up this land, create affordable housing, activate this land for young people and senior people. So it really is a special, special day. Governor Healey proclaims July 5th through 11th as Hurricane Preparedness Week. To encourage residents to prepare for tropical storms and hurricanes, Governor Moore Healey has proclaimed July 5th to July 11th, 2026 as Hurricane Preparedness Week in Massachusetts. During this week-long initiative, the Massachusetts Emergency Management Agency, MEMA, will share informational resources to help individuals, families, businesses, and municipalities protect life and property before, during, and after a tropical storm or hurricane. Preparing before a storm is one of the best ways to keep yourself, your family, and your community safe, said Governor Moore Healey. Hurricanes and tropical storms can impact every part of Massachusetts, so whether you live on the coast or farther inland, now is the time to make a plan, build an emergency kit, and stay informed. Taking a few simple steps today can make a big difference when severe weather strikes. Strong communities are built on preparation, said Lieutenant Governor Kim Driscoll. By taking time now to prepare for hurricane season, we're helping ensure our families, neighborhoods, and first responders are ready to respond when severe weather threatens. The Atlantic hurricane season runs from June 1st to November 30th each year. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, forecasters at the Climate Prediction Center anticipate a below-normal 2026 Atlantic hurricane season, with a range of 8 to 14 named storms, including 1 to 3 major hurricanes. An average season has 14 named storms with 7 hurricanes, including 3 major hurricanes. Preparing for hurricanes is a shared responsibility, said Public Safety and Security Secretary Gina Kwan. Our public safety agencies work year-round with state, local, and federal partners to prepare for severe weather, and we encourage every resident to take steps now to be ready. Being informed and having a plan in place before a storm arrives helps keep families and communities safe. Ahead of peak hurricane season, MEMA has expanded public outreach by sharing hurricane safety tips online, distributing multilingual preparedness toolkits to emergency management directors statewide, and partnering with MassDOT to display preparedness messaging on digital billboards.